So the epistle for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Philippians chapter 1. Brethren, we are confident in the Lord Jesus that he who hath begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. As it is meet for him to think this for you all, for that I have you in my heart and that in my bands, in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my joy. For God is my witness, how I long after all you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your charity may more and more abound in knowledge and in all understanding, and that you may approve the better things, that you may be sincere and without offense unto the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of justice through Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 22. At that time, the Pharisees went and consulted among themselves how to ensnare Jesus in his speech. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art a true speaker and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou dost not regard the person of man. Tell us, therefore, what dost thou think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their wickedness, said, Why do you tempt me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin of the tribute. And they offered him a penny. And Jesus saith to them, Whose image and inscription is this? They say to him, Caesar's. Then he saith to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. As I mentioned about the poor souls, this month is dedicated to them. And so just as we saw, rendering obviously the things to God that are God's, it's a good reminder to us of, one, our judgment, that we will have to make a rendering of our account of life whenever God does call us from this world. And so therefore, for the poor souls, we know that they have been called from this world, so they can therefore not be able to affect, their salvation in any way. They can't change anything. They can't lessen the time in purgatory. They can't gain any extra graces. Because once, as for them, the wayfaring of this life is ended, they're stuck in that state. And so therefore, when they receive their particular judgment, that judgment comes immediately for when God calls them. And then therefore, they are stuck in that state. They have to rely upon the charity of those that are still living, the church militants, in order to change anything for them. And that's why I mentioned that we can gain a plenary indulgence for them these first 8 days. So we still have a few days to try to gain that for them. And so God takes the efforts that we make, and he applies it to them. And so therefore, God knows in his infinite wisdom who will receive these different indulgences, these different blessings, these different graces from the works that we make. And so therefore, that's why it's so important for us to try to gain this for them, because that could be the means that will get them to heaven. That could be the means that will take them out of purgatory and the suffering that they have. That therefore it will release them. And so therefore from that, certainly, they will remember us when they get to heaven. They will pray for us. They will try to intercede for us. Because we were able to help to release them from this, from the suffering that they endure. And so that's why in this month of November, how important it is for us to try to do different things for them. Having masses offered, putting the envelopes on the altar so that they do get a special remembrance at each of the masses. And that's also something that sometimes people ask about. It's like, well, how do you remember everybody's name? Or how do you, obviously God is the one that takes that. And so we form the intention as we're offering mass on the altar to remember all of the poor souls that are contained in the envelopes, and therefore then God makes that application to them. So again, as I say, God makes that application for their souls. And it is based off of the intentions that they have during this life. When they lived on this earth, you know, how much did they see the importance of the Mass itself? Well, then therefore that is what will be applied to them. Or how much they cared for the poor souls, that will also be then applied for them. And so that's why for us now, we should have those intentions, those proper intentions, because then when we are taken from this world, therefore when Masses are offered for us, it will have a greater importance for our soul than maybe someone else who didn't see the importance in the Mass itself. But that's why I've also told people, having a Mass offered for someone while they're still living is the most important, because it can have an effect upon them while they're living in their lives. It can convert them, it can change their life, it can help them, strengthen them in their faith. That's why it's so important to have a Mass offered for someone while they are living. And so it's important for us to see these things and to understand these things. So now that we try to work for the poor souls, we try to help the poor souls. And that is a duty that we have as the church militant. And that's the beauty of the mystical body of Christ, of how we all work together. We pray to the saints in heaven because they are friends of God, the church triumphant. They will try to intercede for us here on earth as we're still working our way through this valley of tears. And then therefore we pray for the poor souls, the church suffering, because they cannot do anything for themselves any longer. They are reliant upon our charity. They are reliant upon the mercy that we show to them. But it's also something for us to consider, especially is to examine, obviously, God's mercy and His justice. It's one of the things I remember being at the seminary that them impressing upon us as we enter into the confessional is to pray for our Lord's, His mercy and His justice, to have that proper balance. To truly try to help the souls that are there, that you have to, yes, you have to show God's justice. These sins require a penance. But then also to have the mercy of God for this soul that comes in seeking this help. And so it's good for us just to look at God's justice, which obviously punishes, but God's mercy, which then also pardons, that proper balance between the two. And so we must try to act, obviously, in the place of our Lord Jesus Christ as we try to balance that. And then we therefore see that God as our Lord, as the judge for everyone, when they approach the throne of God, it will be between this balance of His mercy and His justice. That God willing, the good acts that we do will far outweigh the sins that we have committed. And so therefore that God will give us a good judgment. So therefore, then we try to consider God's justice. The punishments due to the sins committed, that we must understand that they have to be repaired for. There has to be that understanding of that. And so there is, obviously, the seriousness of everything that we do, the strict account that we will have to show at the end of our life. And so that's what's important for us to realize, that the thoughts that we have, the actions that we do, all of that we'll have to render an account. And that is where truly the book of life opens up. This book of life that explains everything that we've done, the good, the bad, all of these different things that are contained in that. But as I say, hopefully for our sake, the good will outweigh any bad that we have done. And certainly any mortal sins that we had fallen into, that we have properly confessed them in our life. So therefore, they wouldn't have a rendering on our judgment. Granted, they may affect our punishment, the temporal punishment that is due to our sins, but at the very least not having an effect on our judgment, because we know, obviously, one mortal sin will cause a soul to go to hell. They will receive that judgment. But if we have properly confessed all of our mortal sins in our life, we have done some penance for them, we may still have some penance that we must try to do. And so therefore, that is why we will spend time in purgatory. Because there is still some temporal punishment that is due to them, or our venial sins. We will have to purge ourselves of them. And so that is why it's so important for us now to try to do penances, to do sacrifices now, to rid ourselves of that so that at the end of our life, God will find us pleasing before his eyes. And so, yes, that is the justice of God, that because of the sins that we have fallen into, there must be a reparation done for them. And so that's where we say that the justice of God punishes the soul. But then we also look at God's mercy and how it pardons the soul. And so that is where then the remitting of the temporal punishment due to our sins that we commit. As I say, we can try to take care of that here on earth, the different sacrifices, the different penances, going to confession. But the idea is that you receive a penance that is proper to the sins that you have confessed. But then it also relies upon us to perform that penance properly. Sometimes we can perform our penance distracted. Or maybe we don't remember exactly what it was. We do something that we think is close enough to it. We've been forgiven of our sins, certainly. But then sometimes there is still a residue, there is still some punishment that will be due to them that we must make up. So we either have to make it up, obviously, in this life or in the next. And so then the indulgences we can gain, that is something that I've also mentioned to you, you know, going to the Mass of a newly ordained priest and receiving his blessing. You can gain a plenary indulgence from that. That plenary indulgence that is applicable to your soul, so therefore then any temporal punishment that you've had for your sins would be completely wiped out if you receive that plenary indulgence. And so all of your sins are forgiven, all of the punishment is forgiven also. So in a sense, you have a clean slate at that point, at that moment. Making a general confession on going on retreat, that also gains that for you. Again, that we properly make it. But we have these opportunities that Holy Mother the Church gives to us, that she gives to us to help us to understand how important will be our judgment. We will have the particular judgment when we die. We will also have the general judgment. And so therefore, when we're looking at God's mercy and how he pardons, he gives us many opportunities to take care of the things here now. He gives us those opportunities to gain the plenary indulgences, partial indulgences. I think I mentioned to you that even visiting a cemetery outside of the first 8 days, you can still gain a partial indulgence every time you visit it. And so we're blessed to have one on our property. So 365 days, you can gain at least, well, minus the 8 days, you can at least gain a partial indulgence every day by visiting the cemetery. I mean, these are things that we must try to consider for our soul. That is where we trust in the mercy of God, certainly. And so the punishment will be remitted by our own sufferings, by someone else praying for us, by good works that are performed. These are means that can help to release us from the punishment that is due to our sins. The charity we have toward other souls, the good works we do toward them, that can also help remit some of the punishment that is due to us. I mean, these are things we must try to understand, because it also shows to us the severity of our judgment that will come. That certainly God will have to, out of his justice, punish accordingly. But therefore also we rely upon the mercy of God to see of all the graces, all the blessings, all the indulgences he gives to us. And therefore wiping away the punishment that is due to our sins. And so these good works that we can perform, you know, the masses we have offered, the holy communions we can offer for people, for ourselves, the prayers, the rosaries, visit to the cemetery, all of these good works can not only help the poor souls, they can also help our own soul, they can also help us in the punishment that is due to our sins. And so we should at least have an idea of what we need to try to do for our own soul. And so that's what's so important for us to take to remember in this time period of November. The poor souls are suffering. They have no way to lessen that suffering except through us. And so let us consider during this month of November, what can we do for them? Because remembering that the fire that they suffer from has the same intensity as hell. That's where the spiritual authors say it's the same fire as hell. The only difference is the duration of it. Purgatory will end for them. Hell will not. And so with it being that same intensity, that same fire, that is so important for us to try to make sure we avoid purgatory. But we know that it is there to purge us from our sins, purge us from what we're suffering. And so let us try to take this opportunity to help the poor souls. St. Catherine of Siena, she had offered to spare her father from the purgatory that he would have to suffer by suffering it for her own life. And so for several years, she suffered from, in a sense, the intensity of the fires of purgatory in her soul. Because she wanted to save her father from that, to spare him the pains of that. And so she suffered that until her death. And so it is a reality. It is something that is real to us. And so let us pray for the poor souls and to realize the fleetingness of our own life. But let us take this month to also to consider our own sins. The sins that we have committed and the punishment that will be accounted for that. And the possible judgment for our soul. And so therefore, let us take this opportunity to do the good works by visiting the poor souls, helping them, but it also helps our own soul. And so therefore, that we will spend our life rendering to God what is God's. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.